Think I'm all ready?
Yeah, me too.
All right, cool. So five,
Four,
three,
two,
and one.
One.
Hello, world, in the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames, messieurs, bienvenue, welcome to the happy hour.
Which was the amount that the Maple Leafs needed to defeat the Montreal Canadiens at their home opener in Toronto. It was a fucking shit job. My name is David Ogier. I'm at Glaucus123 on Twitter. Joined as always by Veronica.
Yeah. I'm at CHILE underscore pepper on Twitter and Threads and Instagram. Blue Sky is Chili Pepper.
It's just us two tonight, and we are the happy hour. Happy hour on Twitter, happy hour on Blue Sky, happy hour upon Instagram, youtube.com/happyhour, and happyhour.com. Habs lose in a shootout.
Yeah.
With the freaking Maple Leafs. What a goddamn. Oh my God. I was there. Oh my Lord. So, okay. We're just going to take it a play at a time. Because these new look Leafs look a lot like last year's Leafs, except they're bigger assholes now because they have Ryan Reeves or whatever his name is. Whatever. Oh my God. What a joke of a franchise. So, okay, we're starting off. Jake Evans, 3 minutes into the game, scores. Unassisted, by the way. That was on a breakaway. Fakes out Ilya Samsonov. Or maybe it was off. I forgot how the shot went. But top corn.
I heard it on the radio, so I can't help.
So 1-0 Habs. Jake Evans, the first goal of the season for the Habs, by the way. So good for him. That's so much fun. Then nothing for the rest of the period. And frankly, the Habs had the Leafs in the first period. It was okay. Because the Habs are pretty decent right now. Then the second period starts, and you might as well have just switched the team from high to low. I don't know.
It was absolutely horrific.
Absolutely crazy. Pathetic. And that is a carryover from last season as well. Second periods for the Habs are not their period. And conversely, second periods are the Leafs' period. So, kind of went hand in hand like that. Despite the fact Alex Newhook gets his first as a Hab, at 1:10 in the period, makes it 2-0 Montreal in foreign territory. Too bad the score ended up being 6-5 against. God damn it. What happens now is that the Habs go on a power play. 2-0. They're on the power play. And Cole Caulfield scores a beautiful goal off of a damn good assist from Monahan, I think it was. From like behind the freaking goal line. Caulfield gets it. Bam. And that should have been game at that point. That would have been 3-0. Good luck climbing out of that one. Of course, what happens? Call gets reversed. And then what happens? This guy named Gregor takes a shot at Allen that goes in as if, you know, Allen was not at the game, but in his house, wherever that is. Fucking ridiculous. Same thing happened in the preseason. Thank God Montembeau wasn't there, because with all the wraparounds that happened, all of those would have went in. We don't have a goalie until we see how Montembeau does on Saturday. That's the other thing, too. The Habs don't play until Saturday now. Weird. They get 2 days off. Yeah. Am I right about that? Actually, I'm going to double check that.
Yeah, they don't play till Saturday.
And they're hosting the Hawks. Home opener for the Habs against fucking Bedard. Awesome.
Poor little Bedard. Did you see him the other night against Fleury?
That was hilarious. If you didn't catch that, guys, Fleury gave him the freaking treatment during preseason.
So and he was just sat there like, oh boy. I couldn't watch it. My son was laughing, but I was just like, oh no.
You couldn't, you don't talk back to Fleury. Fleury talks at you. And that's it. But Chicago at Montreal for Saturday night. All right, anyway, that call gets reversed. The coach's challenge works. And what happens is a complete disintegration of anything hockey related within the minds of the Montreal Canadiens for the entirety of the second period afterwards. Gregor with a wrister. Power play goal by Austin Matthews, because it went off of, was that the one that went off of Alan Skeet, I think it was? Sounds about right. Power play goal for them.
I don't know, I just missed it.
Then a power play goal again for William Nylander, make it 3-2 Toronto, and that was in the last minute, so let's not bring back that fucking narrative again.
No.
To make it 3-2 Toronto going into the third. It's like, oh, great. Big third period coming up. Wink, wink, as it goes.
I wasn't surprised at all, by the way. I knew that they were going to, like, with a guy like Marty St. Louis, after a period like that, before the third period, they were going to come out fired up.
And it was exactly what happened, because it was like a night and day difference between what happened in the second period and what happened in the third period. And what happens in the third period is that, God damn it, there's a power play for the Habs, and Cole Caulfield takes a shot, bounces off of a leaf, arcs into the goal. Cole Caulfield gets his second of the season to tie it up. It's like, all right, we got some life in the Habs. Followed quite closely by yet another goal by Alex Newhook. What an acquisition, Mr. Newhook, that is ending up to be. That was almost a little more than a minute later, which was amazing. Followed then by what I think was, Maple Leaf, skating backwards, gets the puck, whiffs on the pass in his own zone, then falls over. Rafael Javier-Pinard picks it up, or I think that's what the case is. Yeah, he picks it up, and Jesse Ilonen gives Samsonov, just unpantses Samsonov, and gets it top corners. It's 5-3 Habs. Guess what? We had to go to fucking overtime. Because what happened? Oh, Maple Leafs pull their goalie, because that never works, according to Beth. Maple Leafs get two goals off a pulled...
For the Habs.
Yeah, for the Habs. The Leafs get two goals for with the pulled goalie, and they're both scored by Austin fucking Matthews. I don't know, cover him? Get it out of the zone?
Also, Jake, maybe don't leave a gigantic hole between your pad and the net.
No, that was the power play.
That one was... Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Well, he went for the dive, and Austin Matthews just didn't shoot it.
This is when he was in his net. There was a gigantic hole between his pad and the pole.
Was that the power play?
Think so. It was the goal. It was the tying goal.
Because for whatever reason. Oh, yeah. So, okay. So to that, Matthews was surrounded by Suzuki, Matheson, and Anderson. And what were they doing? The threat is there. Like, also behind the net. How was he able to get from behind the net to get to Jake Allen? Actually, no. I think it was a pass through the seam there. But fucking Austin Matthews is behind the net. They're going to pass it to him. And that was the dive over. And then Alan
was
laying
down. That was the
diving
one.
Yeah, Alan was laying down and he got it over. So where it was.
Yeah, this is a different one that I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think that was the power play, that one.
Yeah, I think the one that tied it anyway. His hat trick goal.
Nah, that was the last goal. Regardless.
Yeah.
However it was. Going to overtime. Great. Awesome. And, overtime was great. It was fun.
It was fun.
It was great. Awesome time.
And Jake Allen made up for everything. Holy shit.
Oh, no. And see, there, and then he gives and he takes away. Just like Montembeau gives and takes away. Oh, my God.
I take back everything I was just saying.
They're going to put Montembeau up against Connor Bedard.
Woof. Never know.
Jesus Christ. All right. So, okay. So, Habs get a power play in overtime. And that is like, that's it. And fucking Alex Burrows, in his infinite wisdom, which makes sense, Suzuki, Caulfield, Doc, and Monahan, I think it was, four forwards out there. Fine. Whatever. There's enough talent out there to make it work. But it didn't. And they had at least like a minute and a half of a power play. And
it
just
didn't. It was Matheson out there.
No, it was not Matheson.
That was in, yeah, that was in the regular, yeah.
Four forwards. I remember they listed the names. Like, how come Matheson isn't there? Exactly. Maybe they put Matheson out for the final 30 seconds and it didn't work out. I don't know. All I do know is that if you want the power play to work, because the power play worked twice for the Habs. They got 50% on the power play and 50% on the penalty kill. Crazy. Also won the faceoff dot, which is nice against someone like Austin Matthews. But put Matheson out there unless he had like a long shift or whatever bullshit was going on at the time. Anyway.
Yeah. He's so fast.
No, and he's so good. Guys. He is so good. Matheson is so good. Oh,
dependable.
If the Habs go anywhere this season, it's going to be on Matheson's fucking back. Because that guy, oh man, he bails us out of a lot of trouble. Yep. Oh my
God. Already.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, of course, nothing works out. Go to shootout. And man, Jesus Christ. Couldn't believe it. Our superstar shootout artist, Nick Suzuki, completely whiffs. Like, just doesn't shoot and the puck just leaves. Now, blame that on debris on the ice. I blame that on whatever. Yes. Regardless, that would have been it. Because there was only one fucking goal scored in the six of that thing. And that was goddamn Mitch Marner. Caulfield rings off the post. Doc, I think, was just a regular save. And I don't know. Allen stopped. Nylander hit the post on the backside there. He stopped Matthews. And Marner's went through. Marner's went through. And there it was. Man, what a freaking thing. So the funny stat I was looking at was that only three forwards had a minus in this game with all the goals scored.
Evans?
A minus.
Evans?
Nope.
Gallagher?
Nope.
I don't know.
Suzuki, Anderson, and Monahan had a minus one.
Yeah, Anderson didn't score, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. See, yeah, we were waiting to cash in on that, too. That would have been really nice. Anderson,
he had a chance,
I believe.
Late.
Yeah, Anderson, I believe, was slotted the top line, too, with Suzuki and Caulfield, which is fine. That's okay. Actually, yeah, how come I don't have the lineup up here? Where's the lineup? At least we got chicken wings tonight.
And a point.
Isn't that nice, everybody? Yeah, Suzuki, Caulfield, Anderson, top line. I mean, the power play looked great, but the first unit didn't quite get the chances that they could. You know what unit looked amazing? It was Doc's line. The second line was Slavkovsky and Newhook.
I was telling the same thing to Max.
Oh my Lord, those guys. Yep. Forget it. They were lights out, those guys. They were just...
Canucks just scored. Sorry.
Oh, no. Good.
Yes, that line was good. Who else? Who else did you say?
Suzuki up the top, Doc, Slavkovsky, and Newhook. Slavkovsky had himself a game, too. He looked, like, very, very good in the game.
I've seen no red flags.
Yeah. Yeah. That's honestly the thing. The only red flag would be fucking, you know, don't take a penalty against the freaking Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
That's the one damn thing. It's such a two. I'll give Allen like two donkeys on that one. Maybe three if we count the one empty net one. But like at the same time, oh man, with empty net things, just clear it. You get that puck, you fucking shovel that thing down the ice. I mean, and they weren't doing it.
No.
Oh my God. And then the power play for the Habs in overtime. Oh, that should have been it. That should have been it, but no. Anyway.
But they were on Caulfield, like white on rice.
Suzuki can shoot. He can. We've seen it. But let's see, who else do we get a look at? So, okay, those are the first two lines. Third line, Monahan, Gallagher, Pearson. So we got to see Pearson a little bit. Pearson was fine. No notes there. Then Evans, Ilinen, and Harvey Pinard. Fine. That is a perfect lineup for what the Habs could do.
Yeah, it's a nice energy line on the bottom there.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would wonder is that would you want to switch Doc with Anderson? Put Doc with Suzuki and Caulfield. Have Anderson center, Newhook, and Slafkovský. Or Newhook, I think, is a center. Imagine a second line of Newhook, Anderson, and Slafkovský. Jesus Christ. That'd be so cool. Maybe. We'll see.
The possibilities are endless.
The possibilities are endless. And that's not even to mention the freaking Rocket. Oh my God, what's the Rocket schedule? Did they play tonight?
I saw them practicing today.
Yes, that is true.
I get notifications when they tweet.
Their home opener is on the 13th. So it's Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th. Going to win it.
Yeah. I've got so many deadlines that day.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I hope nothing scary happens.
Yeah. So there is all of that. What else was interesting? Oh, yeah. Okay. So there are only three defensemen with minuses tonight.
Three defensemen with minuses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gouley.
No.
I'm not guessing well today. Okay, I'll have one more guess.
Okay.
Jack Eye?
Nope. The minuses were Matheson, Harris, and Savard.
Really?
There it is. Savard had the worst minus of the team with a minus two. Jack Eye broke even. Gouley and Kovacevic had plus two. And they were the best pluses of the team, those two, with the plus two. Everyone else with either.
Yeah, Gouley, the shot that he took in overtime, I was just like, dude, that was a rookie mistake.
Especially with the firepower they had with him.
That shot. That's not why Suzuki and Caulfield are on the ice.
Yeah. The other thing, what's going on? Yeah, also, talk about Matheson, 26 minutes of ice time. So that's by and large the most of the other defensemen. Second
and
would
looking
be
fantastic every second.
Oh, guy's on it. Followed by Savard with 24 minutes. Jack Eye 10-21 of ice time because he got a game misconduct for jumping Reeves like that. I wouldn't even call it a jumping either. I was really surprised that he got like a game misconduct for that. Oh, that's wild. But at the same time, Arbor Jack Eye, 22 years old, just immediately dropped gloves with Reeves. And it's like, holy shit, are you kidding me? And frankly, tossed him over the freaking netting of the goalie, of the goal. It was nuts. He was up against the boards. Then the other second, Reeves was over top the goal. I mean, I can't even imagine getting the momentum to just start that motion with somebody like Reeves. Excuse me? A large fellow.
You saw what Dangle said?
Yeah, he said Arbor Jack Eye is going to be a problem because of that. And it's true. It's why Arbor is not going anywhere. Habs
and it
need
kind of
him.
Reminds me of Chris Nylén back in his day.
Yeah.
Like people are going to know, eventually people are going to know, don't bother any of Jack Eye's teammates when he's on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing about the Habs that's glaringly evident against the Leafs is that the Leafs had 42 shots on goal. Now, they had four power plays, the Leafs. The Habs had four power plays. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Because you can say, wow, Jake had a lot of work to deal with, which makes sense. The defense is growing. The D pairings also on the back line. I should mention.
Except
those.
For the second period, it didn't seem that lopsided to me. But at the end there, when they were doing the shootout, it said shots were 43-23 or like a 20 shot gap there.
The Habs,
like, ooh.
The Habs had two shots the entire second period and the Leafs had like 16. Yeah. It was really
that
lopsided.
Was the difference there.
Yeah.
Because the game did not look lopsided to me. It looked like the Habs were doing a lot of standing around and watching in that second period, I have to say. But other than that, I had fun. That was a fun game to watch.
Can't believe Nick fucking whiffed that shootout shot. Anyway.
Oh my God, anyway. He lost the puck.
Matheson and Savard, top pairing, followed by Gouley, Kovacevic, and then Jacki and Harris. I mean, that's the best we can do with all that. Everyone sounds like, yeah. I'm missing a name there from last year. I don't remember. Anyway. Oh, well. But yeah, that was the game. Well,
yeah, it was fun. I was looking forward to doing my Bugs GIF tonight, but next time.
Yep, next time. It's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, taking the Leafs to overtime. Well, actually, taking the shootout, excuse me. I'm sure Sheldon Keefe is very, very happy with the result.
I had the Habs 4-2 in regulation. It could have happened.
Mm-mm.
It could have happened. That's not far-fetched.
Mm-mm. Well, the friggin' Habs had have Caulfield's to score.
Caulfield's goal not been called back.
Well, the thing is the Habs have to score this much now because their goalies aren't going to bail them out anymore. That is going to be a culture shock for Habs Nation. That our back end is pretty whimsical.
Well, they're babies. Except for Matheson.
Allen, too. He's not a baby.
Oh.
Talking about the goalies.
No, I mean the D core.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to take a while for sure.
Still a fun game to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Leafs fans can't be too obnoxious tonight.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it's not like we can hear them now anyway since Twitter's so broken.
That's true. I don't look at the way I use Twitter now is I have notifications set up for like the news people and like the Habs and stuff like that. Uh-huh, so I have I see a notification, then I'll go in and see what they're talking about. But looking at Twitter, the first time I really did that was at the last preseason game there.
Mm-hmm.
And it works like shit. It works so terribly. Half the tweets I tried to send wouldn't send. Half the gifts I tried to send wouldn't send. Like game time, I thought, okay, I'll use Twitter for at least for game time. It was bad. It's like unusable almost.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's a real shame.
It was pretty decent. And then it just takes one guy to be like, nope, no way. See you later. Bye.
Yeah, I know. Everybody hearkening back to the good old days when Twitter was a cesspool and we're all like, fuck, what a cesspool. Holy shit, we didn't know how good we had it.
All it takes is one megalomaniac to make something entirely unusable. Software people have to stop thinking they're so damn cool. Freaking Silicon Valley idiots. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
So a lot of people are on Threads. Threads has its limitations in that still you can't do a search for anything but a username.
So you can't do terms. One of the most basic things that comes with almost everything that you use in technology. Can't search for shit. You can search for shit on Instagram, but apparently the Threads team said, we'll do that later. It's like, okay. The fuck do you mean later? I could probably write a website to do it right now.
Ridiculous. No DMs?
No DMs. Because it's too integrated with Instagram. We didn't want to have two platforms using the same bit. Fucking Christ.
And then the other thing is, it's a minor quibble, really. But it's like Instagram right now is that they're not doing chronological feeds.
It's close with the following button that you have now.
Yeah, okay. No DMs. And also, you can't add a GIF in there unless you do like a backdoor method. It's not like...
It's a pain in the ass. Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's not integrated with like Imgur or anything.
Photos. So I like to... You can't switch... You can't make them landscape. Like, you can't flip your phone. Like, that's how I read. Like, that's how I read the paper. That's how I'll watch a show. you know, and they won't flip. Blue Sky does, but Blue Sky has fewer limitations, I find, except for, again, no DMs and also no fucking GIFs. And you can't post videos there either, apparently. Like, what? You guys, if you want us to, like, leave Twitter for good, and I would, except not everybody can be on Blue Sky because it's still closed. And then on Threads, there's all, like, you know, people, there's still too many people that are staying on Twitter. God knows why. Holy shit. Maybe they can't tell because they've been sitting there every day, but it works like shit now.
The one person I've seen that's been really trying to get off and get people on either on threads is Gord Miller, of all people.
Yeah?
At least from what I can tell. I mean, when's the last time Gord Miller put something on Twitter? Let me see.
He doesn't like to. Well, the reply people on Twitter are almost always assholes, too.
October 10th. Let's see. That was yesterday. Okay, no. So he still uses it. Yep, QA session on there. I think he tries to match it on Threads, but yeah, it's whatever. Yeah. They gotta do both because everything's a pain in the ass. And it had to be a pain in the ass because of one fucking asshole that wanted to make things worse than they were. God, I cannot wait till that fucker dies.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh my God, it's gonna be so.
And apparently there was some shit I saw.
I can't wait until he tries to upload his consciousness to a server and the server breaks down and he's left as a vegetable. I'm sorry to say it. Actually, I'm not sorry to say it. I am so proud of what I just said because that guy is a fucking bane to existence. He's awful. Oh my God. Yeah, talk about Elon Musk, by the way. Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. No, he's a horrible, horrible person who learned about life in apartheid South Africa. You know, fucking diamond mining and like... And he's a dick. He's another one of these people. Him, Donald Trump. Just think about these people. None of them have friends. None of them have friends. They have like business contacts and people that hang around them and a posse, maybe. But none of them has a friend, and neither of them has ever had a friend. And they're just. You know, like they'd sell their own children because of a grudge. Like you see how they are. Like,
yeah, it's awesome.
Revenge is very big for these people.
Yep. Strong man, et cetera, like, this and the other thing. It's been the same playbook for the past, you know, ever since they've been alive.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Good for them.
Nobody likes them. And they're out for revenge on everybody because nobody likes them. And all they want is to be liked. All that Donald Trump wants is to be liked by all those fucking famous black basketball players and all the fucking famous people in Hollywood. And instead, he's got all these hillbillies that live in tin shacks and they're like his fucking cult. He would never invite any of them to his fucking rat-infested hotel in Miami.
That's right. Too bad, so sad. Let's see.
Twitter. What did we see on Twitter?
Nobody. I was checking to see if anyone was injured. Nobody. So I guess the new medical team's doing good for the Habs. That's nice.
Yeah, Max was worried about Dak there for a second.
Yeah, I was wondering about that as well. I was wondering why there wasn't a fucking penalty shot.
Yeah.
I don't
Because he was
get
behind
it.
The net. I think he was going for the wraparound. He was behind the net.
He was going towards the net. Someone, you know, jostled him and he, you know, hit the wall because he, you know, missed the net with his body. I don't think it was a wraparound.
I think he was going for it. That's what it looked to me that he was going to try to do, or at least he was reaching for the puck. Let me see. It was all very fast. I haven't seen it again.
Yeah, I don't think we would get a replay of the penalty that led to the power play.
On Canadien.com you might, or NHL.com later.
Yep. Okay. Not sure. But either way, nothing's been announced and they have 2 days off anyway. So
yeah,
good for them.
We're back into the regular season.
Why does this website do this shit? When I scroll with my wheel, I get Detroit to Minnesota. I scroll down one, and then I get Nashville to New York, and I can't fucking click on Montreal. Fucking Christ. All
right. Hurry, Batman.
I just don't get this shit. Just put the, make the pull down menu bigger, for fuck's sake. Oh, okay. All right.
I know if you're doing it even on your computer, it should be
how
easier.
How come
than anything.
I don't get the grid like I do anymore? Man, it's obviously my fault. I am doing it wrong.
It's a user issue.
I'm doing it wrong.
For sure.
What you actually have to do is you have to go to NHL.com, click on teams. Then under Montreal Canadiens, there's a link for schedule, which is not the same as if you go to NHL.com, click schedule, click on all teams pull down, scroll down, and you can't click Montreal Canadiens, barely. And when you do it that way, they give you a list of games and not a schedule. You know, a calendar block. Because why would you have it be consistent? Fuck, man. Yeah. I could write a fucking dissertation on user interface. Oh, boy. Anyway, the Habs have
They play on Saturday. Then they don't play till Tuesday.
Then
they don't play
again.
Till Saturday.
They play 9 games this month. And then they have 4 games the following week.
1, 2, 3, 4. And then on the 30th.
Yep, then the 30th is in Vegas, yep. Which I'm missing, by the way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I will be in Vegas next weekend. Not this coming, but the one following. Frickin' A, yeah. Which is too bad. Because it would have been nice to have been in town for Vegas. Because that's a fun game to go to.
That would be the Halloween game, too.
Yes. Believe me, I know. But yeah, Chicago on Saturday. Next week, we got Wild on Tuesday. Capitals the following Saturday. Then the week after that, it is Sabres Monday, Devils Tuesday. Oh, is that an away game? Is that home? Oh, see, if the border is a red that blends in really nicely with the black, it means it's at home because the Habs color is red.
Okay. See, I don't know because I just have like every year the Habs schedule gets automatically added to my iCalendar.
Yeah.
So I get the pop-ups and all that stuff. And
I like the calendar on the Canadiens part of the website because it gives you the link to the game logs right under all of the things and the score right there.
No, but I mean, in a pinch, like if somebody's asking me to make an appointment or have a meeting or whatever, I'll be able to look. Oh, I will be unavailable between 4 and 7 on
Thursday, reasons the 26th. That I cannot disclose for personal reasons, unfortunately. So, yeah, then that 1 week starting on the 23rd, it's Sabres on the 23rd, Devils on the 24th. So a little bit of a back to back of sorts. Then Thursday, the 26th is Columbus. Followed by Winnipeg on the 28th, Saturday. Then, Vegas on October 30th, Monday.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Sweet.
Sweet. Oh, and then the schedule takes off a lot in November. 5, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 games. When is the West Coast swing? It is
usually December-ish.
I think it's in a little bit in November. Ducks followed by Sharks followed by LA. That's the West Coast string part. Yeah. And even the week before that, Vancouver.
On the 2nd. Or when is it?
The 12th. November.
November 12th.
I Sunday. Think. Or are they at home then? Whoops. I think they're at home then. My bad.
Yeah.
When is the West Coast?
Because I think the Habs game is on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday this year. The Canucks.
West Coast road trip.
We haven't bought our tickets yet, obviously.
When's the West Coast road trip? I think it's that November. How weird. They wouldn't save it for April. That'd be ridiculous. Nope.
I'm pretty sure the Habs play in Vancouver on a Tuesday this year.
Okay.
Because I was like, fuck. How am I going to get up for work the next day?
You can just call in. Work is an illusion.
Work from home. I'll Thursday. Work from home on Wednesday. It's a Thursday?
Yeah, it's a Thursday.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's a Thursday in March.
Thursday in March?
I will be in Miami that weekend.
Uh-oh. Why are you going to Florida?
Burn books. And make sure that people don't teach them kids about them gay people.
Don't say gay.
I mean, homoerotic. I'm sorry. Sorry. I forgot myself. So crazy. Okay. I think that's all the hockey stuff. Trying to think. Who was my favorite Hab of the night? Mattson, man. Every time he was on the ice, man, he was great. And Doc had some incredible moments, too. That whole second line made the game for me. It was so cool watching them because I don't know if it was like a mismatch whenever they went up on the ice, but just the Leafs, they didn't have an answer for them. It was really cool. No. And further to that, actually, something cool to mention. Let me check out something here. Back. Ooh, am I going to find this? It's going to take a while to find. Well, it's not going to be fun either. Nope, not having fun with it. Oh, shoot. Okay. Now it's going to take me a minute. Okay, our shooters. Let's see. Okay, who scored? So Evans, fourth line. Newhook, second line. Caulfield, first. Ilonen, fourth. I was wondering if every line scored. No defenseman scored, it looked like. Okay. That's why I'm just...
Jack Eyes got tipped.
Yep, Jack Eyes got tipped. Jack Eyes, what a shot. Jesus.
You saw that one, obviously, on Sunday on that preseason game where everybody just kept playing after he shot it. And he's like, wait.
Oh, yeah, that went through the puck frickin' net. And the puck had gone clean
through the net.
Yep.
And there's even rubber on the mesh.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was so cool.
Was so cool.
Yeah, the only line that did not score was the third line, Monahan, Pearson, and Gallagher, which, whatever. What can you do? Would have been nice, though.
I like Monahan.
Oh, Monahan.
He's big, so he seems like he's slow, but he's very lithe. He's very, like bendy and sneaky.
Monahan can also take face-offs, though he wasn't that great tonight. 33%. Doc with 42. Jake Evans, 57. But Nick Suzuki, 64% on the dot. And Alex Newhook, too, took some. 50%. Good for him. Let's see. Matthews, 35% on the dot. Douchebag. Tavares with 60. Good for him. Whatever. And yeah, I think that's all I got. Wait, what other news happened while we were doing things? Oh, the news heard around Habs world. You all are Mia on waivers. He cleared. Yep. And I think they're just sitting him right now because I don't think he was sent to Laval. Like, there's no way that
would. No, that would have made news.
That would have been way more news. For sure. Aside from all of that. Oh, yeah. Heinemann, Norlander, down to Laval. That was before the season started. That was a little bit ago. I love how all of the articles are not in chronological order now. Makes trying to find stuff so easy on the website. It's amazing.
It should be.
I'm talking about NHL.com now. I'm like,
tell me they don't have money for fucking
like somebody
developers.
It's like, okay, so you segmented. So what they did is that, okay, we have latest game day practice, personnel moves, prospects, and the lighter side. So now they have six categories of news, streams. So it's like, okay, I guess I'll look at personnel moves and what's not on personnel moves. Fucking the waiver wire. God damn it. All right, well, I'm going to open it up anyway. Let me see.
I don't. My frustration with that website is it has no excuse.
It just doesn't other make than it's just like a giant sense.
Fuck you.
I just don't like, get it.
We have to be detectives to figure shit out. Like
this is the antithesis of technology, and it
yeah.
bugs me to hell because I'm a fucking developer. Oh my god! If I was in the room, I'm like Tabonakbam old Zdesky. Fucking put this in fucking order. Oh, you want your
it's
six?
Easy.
You want your six categories? Well, add a seventh called timeline. Fuck!
It's like it's extra work making it out of order.
Yeah, it's not only that, but they can't fit as much news on one page because they have to blow up all the fucking pictures.
And then all the ads, when you finally get to a video, you got to sit through 30 seconds. Yeah,
I can't even bother with it. I've stopped with videos years ago.
I stop it. I quit. I'd rather not see the video. I'm not sitting through 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not sitting through 30 seconds of fucking ads on the NHL website if we're going to put fucking emblems on the fucking jersey, all right? Pick your battle. Oh,
yeah.
Talk about picking battles. Just realized. No more pride tape. According to the NHL, no players can have pride tape in any way, shape, or form now. I didn't read too much into it. I just saw the headline and thought, that makes sense because we are in a world of sports and men. Straight men. Or straight white men, I should say. Straight healthy white men that are manly. That's the world we live in, unfortunately.
Well, the majority of the leaders have spoken out against it and talked about what a shame it is. And a couple of guys said, fuck you, Gary Bettman. Find me. I'm going to use my rainbow tape. Like, and it's so funny, like all these fucking, you know, Neanderthal loser assholes who hate women's hockey and Pride Night and all of that stuff. Those are the first, like, my freedom of speech.
It is the biggest red flag when somebody's like,
if you want rainbow tape, then fucking stick to sports, shut up and stick to sports.
Yeah. It's the biggest red flag that anybody can like wave around. Like, no pride tape? Come on. Christ on a fucking bike, man.
Like, it's not like we're not going to have Pride Night. It's Pride Tape is forbidden.
Yeah.
What?
So, what the fuck are you talking about Pride Tape's forbidden?
What are you trying to do?
Just license the Pride Tape. Slap an NHL logo on there and you'd make fucking bank. Christ, man. Don't make me make money for you. You know? And then on the other end of it, we can say, you know, gays are bad. The other side of the tape. And that, we'll have that tape on it, too, for all those fucking idiots. Of course
it's
not.
Like
no, we'll never do that.
The Stahl brothers, you know, got other people to speak up about it. And, like, the 10% of the losers who are the biggest, such big, giant fucking snowflakes that they can't put a rainbow on their stick that says, let's live in the world together. How about that? Like, these people are such snowflakes, and they spoiled it for the rest of them.
I think it was Jim Jefferies, comedian.
Always the biggest snowflakes, man.
Who mentioned something in one of his skits I thought was very, very thoughtful, is that the world moves as fast as the lowest 10%. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it, because we're always dragging those fucking deplorable shitbags by their goddamn teeth. Get into a better world for everyone else. Ooh, boy, I can. Pisses me the fuck off. Can't find a
kids, though, these days. I'm telling you, the majority of them, because a lot of them still have bad parents. But I think that the majority of Gen Z is going to have a thing to say about that.
Good. Then they can vote in states.
Except for the ones with bad parents.
Yeah, fuck.
But you can still get away from those guys. Can still get away from those guys.
Where?
They want you to hate people instead of just live and let live.
Mia. It's insane.
Do you like my new hair?
Yes, it's very nice. It's insane trying to find shit.
It's too flat right now.
No, it looks great.
What are you looking for?
Just trying to find the date when Armia was put on fucking waivers and who it was put on waivers with. Like, I'm literally
yesterday
on...
Yesterday, and he cleared today.
Like, I'm looking on the website today. All right. Armia, Canadiens.
What about, like, cat-friendly?
Waiver. I know. But I want the tweet from the Habs, because if they have an article associated to it, that's what I want to see.
Sometimes they don't do that, though.
No, they don't. I know they don't. I'm trying to confirm that right now. That's my whole thing.
It's not very inconsistent, but it's inconsistent.
Oh, my God. All right. Search people's. People you follow, please.
What about Engels?
I looked up Armia Canadiens waiver in the search bar on Twitter. And I got three tweets. Three. You know how many people we follow on the Happy Hour? Over 3,000, right? Yes. One of the people that we follow happened to be the Habs, right?
Correct.
Let's you know, start dialing in here. I got a search result from Ryan Prott from October 9, saying that Armia was not claimed. Canadiens aggregator. Yep, October 9. And then
I guess it was. Yeah, that's
right. Oh, I'm sorry, an ad. So I only got two tweets and then an ad for that fucking And if, you know, of course, in the whole wisdom of, you know, Twitter, if I go to Canadiens, click on them.
Get out.
It doesn't do anything. So he was placed on waivers on the 8th.
Okay, yeah, that seems about right. Everything, because Monday was a holiday and everything's kind of blended into one day.
Yeah. There it is. Holy Christ, October 8th. Canadiens have placed forward Jaromir and defenseman Gustav Lindstrom on waivers.
Right.
Gustav Lindstrom. I don't recall him too well. Wasn't there another Lindstrom I got mixed up with a bunch? I think I did.
Henrik or something? Eric?
I don't recall.
Lundqvist? I don't know. It's late. I haven't had any sleep.
You haven't had any sleep.
I'm sorry for the yawning.
That's okay. No. I mean, I don't sleep, so.
Yeah.
All right, how are we doing? Okay. I got about another 10-ish or so left. Let me see here. Where's the last thing I was looking for? You know, I'm just going to give up because it's not even fucking worth it. I don't get paid to do this, so there it is.
No.
I don't know where he is. Was he scratched? Does the NHL website at least show that in the when I click on schedule, then click on schedule again, then I have to click on the game, and then I have to go to the box score, click on Canadiens. Who is scratched? Oh, the scratches aren't here. Oh, yes, they are. He's not listed Pizzetta under and, the scratches either.
Barron. Pizzetta and Barron.
Pizzetta, Barron, and Promo, technically as well, apparently, right, according to the website. But Armia was not. Okay, I'm going to check one more thing, since this is going to be much more easier to check, because this is an AHL website. Let's see. RocketLaval.com. Let me go to... Actually, none of this makes sense. I want the roster.
Anyway, let me tell you what I watched on the weekend.
Is there no roster on this website? There is not. I am giving up now. Okay, yeah, what have you been watching?
I watched two things on the weekend that I really liked. Yeah. So I finished watching all of Mad Men.
Nice.
Finished it again. And in the last couple of seasons, there was a ton of stuff that I was like, oh my God, yeah, that happened. And so it was almost like I was watching it again for the first time.
That's so cool.
Because the last time I watched it was 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So anyway, really, really good. The ending is so, when you watch it, Dave, I recommend that you watch it. But when you watch it, it's just like it's one of those shows that there is no like yes and no. Everybody loved the ending.
Good. That is so rare.
Good. Yeah.
That's like
And so then anyway, back to John Hamm. The very next thing I watched had John Hamm in it again. The Maggie Moore movie where the guy who plays Nate in Ted Lasso is his, like, they're cops and they're partners. Tina Fey is in the movie.
Ooh.
And it is very, very good. Very, very good. But then we watched the movie Reptile on Netflix. Seen it yet?
Mm-mm. Nope.
It's quite the cast. And even Justin Timberlake, who to me, he's always obviously acting. He's getting better. He's well, even he was good in this movie.
Well, it took him like 20 years.
Yeah. Benicio del Toro is the lead detective. It's a murder mystery. That's all I'll tell you. But he is such a joy to watch.
Del Toro is
oh, he's so subtle.
So
he's
wild.
So natural.
Did you know that Del Toro was in one of the newer Star Wars movies?
No.
In one of them. And he actually probably played.
I still won't watch it.
He probably played the most interesting character, too. He played an arms dealer in the Star Wars universe. You want blasters? Yeah. Got blasters. You want ships? I got ships. It's like, oh shit, that's Benicio del Toro in Star Wars.
Oh, and you know who else is in it? Is plays his wife, Alicia Silverstone.
Oh yeah. Well, I haven't seen her in a while.
And she again, her acting, like her and her chemistry with Benicio was just effortless. Like you could tell that they were like best friends who'd been married for 15 years and just a very natural chemistry. But what I did want to say about Alicia Silverstone is she has aged very well. She still is the exact same girl except with wrinkles.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, I'm like, oh yeah, Benicio del Toro was in a new movie. I'm like, oh, it's on Netflix. Okay. I know I have an idea of what the movie is that you're talking about. So that's cool. I'm glad it's good.
Yeah, it's a murder mystery. He plays the lead detective. Alicia Silverstone is his wife. I didn't expect to enjoy it that much because I generally discount a movie that features Justin Timberlake.
However,
but then of course Benicio. Like just watching his every single movement. I don't know. And so then I said something about it on Twitter that it's such a good movie. It's entertaining. And that Benicio del Toro is, of course, such a tremendous delight. And then I got a like on it. Who liked it? The writer and director.
Oh.
He's obviously doing a search because I didn't hashtag or
that guy is probably doing. Yeah. He's like, please like my movie. 20.
He's like 25 or some shit.
Yeah. Probably.
He's a kid.
Good for him. Good job, kiddo. Imagine writing something that cool and like probably that deep as a child.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Reptile on Netflix, everybody.
Reptile on Netflix.
It's from 2023.
Yep, it's from this year. Very recent.
Yep.
This year. I went to see Gareth Edwards' new sci-fi movie called The Creator this past week. Gareth Edwards, okay, all this fucking Star Wars talk. He's made many movies, Gareth Edwards. I'm going to pull up his list here. But for Star Wars people, the most glaring Star Wars thing that he did, and I use glaring in a good context, is that he directed Rogue One, which by many Star Wars aficionados, those that hate the new movies, those that hate the old movie, whatever, like the different sects, most of those people are like, Rogue One was really cool. Like it's our one cozy come together, right? That we can actually agree on. So he did that. For me, he directed the reboot of Godzilla, which I love, the 2014 one. Aside from that, I'm trying to see his other cinematography. He did a TV movie called End Day. I don't think many people know that one, though. He directed a movie in 2010 called Monsters, which starred... Oh, never mind. Don't know any of those people. I thought he had more. I thought he had more films. I could have sworn maybe it was just writing credits that I did not know about.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I messed that up a little bit. Anyway, The Creator. The Creator is about near future, 2060, AI is a thing now. There's robots that walk around and bullshit, and it's a movie about, like, that sort of thing. AI fucks something up, and now the United States wants to, you know, eradicate all AI, and that means hunting down robots, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing, until the robots develop a weapon in the form of a child. That is a robot, but it's a child. And I have to stop right there. I fucking hated this movie. If I was if I was not with friends, I would have walked out. Yeah. 30 minutes into it, I'm like, I could be at the dentist. I could be contributing to my oral health. But I'm sitting here watching the fucking
a better thing to do creator. Compared to anything.
It's not, you know, I can be snobbish with movies. Usually I can sit through it. You know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I love Gareth Edwards. The work, and they're such beautifully looking movies. And that's a thing too. Creator was like fucking holy Christ. If you showed that movie in like the 1930s, like the crowd would have had like seizures and died. Like it just looks incredible. Looks incredible, the movie. It's unreal how good it looks. But it was me, my buddy Ben, and his wife Kate. And Ben and I were big sci-fi heads. Now, Ben has a leg up on me in regards to like military, because this is a big military sci-fi thing too. Okay.
Oh, is this our military guy?
Yeah. This is Ben that went to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So Ben and I, like after the movie finished, like I started laughing. I was like, Ben, I'm so sorry. And Kate's like, you guys don't have a soul in your bodies. Cause there's like emotional stuff that goes on, but it was so, I can't even. Siskel and Ebert had one of the writers do a great write-up on the movie that I thought was super fair, and she hit all the points. There was no gravity to anything that was going on. Like, I didn't care. I did not care. Did not care at all about anything that was going on. And I don't know if things were like overacted or something. It was like, it was so weird. And then like the military aspect of it, me and Ben were going on crazy about that. Like, why do you even need a flying spaceship to launch missiles? You tell me the United States in 2060 doesn't have a fucking missile silo that they can just and done?
Yeah.
No, you have to have like a giant Tesla sign going through the air like in Tron to make it more ominous, I guess. Oh, man. Do not see The Creator. Unless you really, really want to. I can understand people who love the movie. I cannot have a conversation with them about it. I do not have the mental maturity to have a conversation with those people that are like, Creator's like on my number one movie list of all time. I would be like, was it better than Schindler's List? No, it wasn't. It's incredible.
Of course not.
So there was that. How much time do we got left? So I have one more thing to mention. Okay, yeah, we have like 5-ish minutes, give or take.
Okay.
I finished Hijack.
Yes!
I would watch Hijack 20 times before ever thinking about watching any scene of The Creator. What? That last episode, 6 episodes, I think, all together. That last episode, holy shit.
I know.
Woo!
Okay, this is the last one. And okay, this is the last one. This is the last one. And then we just finally.
Oh.
So, yeah, quite the roller coaster, eh?
Oh, it was so, so good. I was really like thinking, like, how good can this show be? It's like, oh, I mean, Idris Elba's in it. You know, that's like drafting first pick overall.
Number one.
I get it. Like, that's it. Like, it's like him and like no one else that I know really well. Unless they're like really famous British actors that never act in the States or something.
Max is being disruptive watching the Canucks play right now. They're beating Edmonton 2-0 in the second period. What was I going to say? Yeah. So, tell me, what did you think? Because I loved her so much. The air traffic controller.
Absolutely. Just loved does her the so job. Much. Just does the job. Now, who I could not stand was the mom on the plane. I think we mentioned this last week.
The mom,
week.
Yeah. We talked about
and
that
I was
last
like,
week.
You can take her.
Yeah.
If I was like married to her, I'd be like, you can take her. Just we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Just take her.
No, and then like, the woman hijacker too. Like, oh yeah, I mean, get it. You're tough.
Well, I mean,
no, The woman hijacker, I was very annoyed by her.
Okay, take the woman hijacker, make her every character in The Creator. And that's pretty much what The Creator was, honestly. Like her, like, you know, that whole, I was like, Jesus Christ. Just take it down a notch, please. Please.
Take it down a notch.
And some other and actors in The Creator were just so wasted. Okay, I got to stop about The Creator. Done. trying to think what else is on. I know there are new episodes of Invasion that I haven't gotten to, so I'll actually probably watch those tonight.
Yeah, I've got to catch up with that show.
Yeah.
Now that I've finished Mad Men well and proper. Mm-hmm. Anybody who hasn't seen that before, like, it's quite the, I think it's so well done. And such, like, part of the experience with Mad Men is staying to the end credits, because there's always a banger at the end of the show. It's like with The Sopranos, how that was part of the experience. Like, you sit down and you don't get up until the end credits are done, because there's always a great song at the end. So yeah, and just like Mad Men was kind of just like a, it was just like a ground shaker for its time. Like I lived with them, like watching them once a week every year for fucking 6 or 7 years or whatever it was. So it was kind of part of life, but watching it just all like at once, binge watching, it's just like, man, this is a good show.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And there's shit that happens in it that it's just like, it's not just like your normal drama. Sometimes like this really bizarre shit happens, and it's just really good.
Kind of like Nip Tuck. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
I never watched it. That was all the rage when I was in college. People would be like, oh, let's watch Nip Tuck.
Like, I watched it. I don't remember how I watched it. And I didn't kind of watch it all, but I caught a bunch of episodes and I was entertained.
Was it AMC Nip Tuck?
I don't think so.
No.
Because I didn't have any specialty channels back then.
It wasn't HBO.
I don't know. I don't remember how I saw it. Maybe on, fucking pay-per-view or some shit.
It was on FX. In the States.
I was going to say that. And
six
I didn't say it.
Seasons. There are 100 episodes on the dot of Nip Tuck.
Wow, really?
Yep,
I thought it was only like a couple seasons and then...
Yep, six seasons.
I thought the show was entertaining. I mean, I never obviously got invested, like caring to make sure that I saw every episode, but everything that I did see, I enjoyed. If it was on, I'd watch it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I think that's it. Okay, we're out of our time.
Yeah, that's it. We're out of time.
All right, a tie.
Todd.
Start the season. We did it.
We did it.
Good job, everybody. Next game against the Blackhawks on Saturday. And that's it. We'll have a new episode tomorrow, Monday or Tuesday. We'll figure that out at some point. And there you go. Good job, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Like and subscribe. Bye.